There is something about the Lenten scriptures that were given in the lectionary. They're just some of the most powerful readings in Holy Scripture. And I think that first lesson we had this morning from Genesis really is something to wrestle with. And when you counter that with what we just heard from Mark's gospel account in the 8th chapter, you've got to ask yourself, what is this good news that we Christians talk about? Those two stories are pretty profound. You have probably all lived long enough where you've been the recipient of bad news before. You might have even had opportunity where you had to be the deliverer of bad news. And I think that that's probably what's going through the mind of the disciples and Christ himself this morning in that gospel account where Jesus has to tell these 12 men that he's been traveling with, his companions, folks that he's become very close to, what exactly is going to happen to him. That he's going to be turned over to the religious elite of the day, and they will have their way, and they will kill him. Now, Peter, you've heard me say this before, I love Peter. He's so impulsive. He speaks much quicker than he thinks. He tells Jesus, no, it can't be that way. And Jesus rebukes him. And Jesus says, no, you're not looking at this the right way. In other words, you're taking just the bad news part of this, and that's not what this is intended for. You've got your mind, Peter, focused on the things that are here on earth. They're humanly. And I've got a much bigger and better plan for this entire story. And so he even calls Peter Satan. He's implying that Peter is under the influence of the demon Satan by saying that. When we put that in the context of what we read today in Genesis, that story of Abraham and Isaac, again, talk about a deliverer of bad news. Let me ask you this. If you had an encounter with God and you're a parent, and in that encounter, God asked you to sacrifice your child, even if God told you the world will be so much better, so many people will be in such a better place if you would just do this one thing for me and kill your own child. I doubt seriously any one of us would ever do it. I don't know. I couldn't. But yet that's what Abraham is asked to do today. God has a testing upon Abraham. And it's interesting the way the story reads because he says, Abraham, this is God speaking, Abraham calls him by his name and Abraham replies, here I am. And it's an interesting thing when you go throughout the scriptures, you hear that's Abraham's response to the Lord each time. Here I am. Something we can learn for that. Here I am when the Lord is speaking to us. And he says, take your son. And the next little clause of that sentence is fascinating. He says, your only son whom you love, Isaac. You know what the reality of that is? Isaac is not Abraham's only son. Have you ever thought about that? Isaac is actually his second son. Does anybody remember Abraham's first son? Ishmael. He had a son with his wife's maid. Yet God chooses not to recognize the legitimacy of that particular lineage of Abraham. He chooses to recognize Isaac as Abraham's first and only son. Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. And so Abraham, probably struggling, as all of us would do, as I just asked you to contemplate the question, could you do it? He's obedient. He's obedient to the Lord, and he prepares to bring Isaac, he not only prepares, he pulls it off. He loads him up on a donkey. He brings two of his servants with him. And I don't know if you caught this in the text or not, but it's Isaac who is pulling the wood. He's carrying the wood for the burnt offering on his shoulders to this mountain called Moriah, which means the Lord will provide. And what we're seeing is a pre-shadowing of exactly what we're heading toward in Lent, to that Friday that we have termed Good Friday, where Jesus Christ himself would take the wood of the cross and he would carry it up a hill called Calvary, and he would lay down his life. He would become the Lamb of God, just as John the Baptist had predicted. There is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. And at the very last moment in this story in Genesis today, God speaks to Abraham. And unlike this first time where he speaks to him in the beginning of the story, he doesn't just say Abraham. Picture Abraham. He's bound his son, placed the wood on him for the burnt offering. He has the fire, and now he's got the knife. And he has to plunge the knife into the throat and into the heart of his only son whom he loves and set the fire to make the sacrifice that God has called him to do. And what does God say? He says not just Abraham. He says it twice to get his attention. Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham says, "Here I am, Lord." And he says, "Don't do it. Don't do it. This is not a sacrifice that I'm asking you to make any longer. This is a sacrifice that God has chosen that he's going to make." And that's the story of revelation, of redemption from Judaism to Christianity. It would be God's only son whom he loved, named Jesus Christ, who would carry that wood, walk the mount, be beaten along the way, be tortured, suffered, have insults thrown at him, and be crucified. Abraham said to Isaac, "The Lord will provide." And the Lord did. He stopped him. And in the thicket was a ram. Interesting. It wasn't a lamb. It was a ram. And God accepted that ram as the burnt offering for that day to save the life of Isaac. But the lamb did come. His name is Jesus. And not only did he come, my brothers and sisters, he died on that cross. He spent 3 days in the ground. And on the third day, he rose again. And that's the promise of good news to us, that when we place our faith and our trust in the true Lamb of God, that we too have the promise of eternal life. We too have the promise that there are loved ones who have moved on before us that we can be reunited again with. But I'll tell you, I don't think that's going to compare to when it is it's our turn to be called home by the Lord, where we get to see, as Billy Graham was famous for saying, God face to face, and to be in total spiritual communion and fellowship with him in his dominion in heaven. It's something that we have the promise of, but not because of anything we could do, but because of everything that man did on that cross. And my prayer is this Lenten season, that you spend some time thinking about that story. You spend some time in quiet prayer, meditating on it, maybe returning back to Holy Scripture and rereading the story, seeing how it is that God may be speaking to you, even in those times when you're saying, this is bad news that's happening in my world right now, or this is bad news that I'm being called to have to share with a family member or a friend or a colleague? How is it that God can turn that story into something that is so glorious that you know, no matter how bad it was, God has still got it. He's still in control. He still loves you. And that it's really all about how good he is in your life. Go back and reread that story this week and find out how you can start having experiences where when you know it's God talking to you, nagging at your heart, your response is not to put the blinders on and say, I don't want this, I can't handle this, I don't need this. But your response is to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I pray that you receive it in the name of our blessed Trinity. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let all God's children say, Amen.